Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions.
When God intervenes, everything will be all right.
Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. In this week's power-packed message, Dr. Williams teaches that when storms attack our lives, when circumstances and situations are all coming our way, that we should be encouraged to know that when God intervenes, everything will be all right. If you have your Bible, open it with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 13 down through 15. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
When God intervenes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Take your time.
Thank you. When God intervenes.
Walk through there, Doug.
In the human analysis, who say or claim to be part of the kingdom. Many of the people who talk about the kingdom, talk about God in the Bible, you won't be reading a whole lot about church. You read about kingdom building. Also, the misinterpretation by a lot of people that God haven't told me nothing yet. That's not true. You haven't recognized what he told you. And let me clear up something, because I don't want to die and be asked by God, why didn't you do that? Many instances, many, not one, many, God speaks to you here in your belly by the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you, but you got so much other stuff in your belly to hit, it will not take root. He reveals many things, and you have to be spiritually minded enough to know he's revealing it. I was talking to the man yesterday. It used to bother me when I was a teenager and then got to be a young adult. Why did people lie on me so much? Why did they criticize me so much in the 13, 14, 15 era? In those times, when they said things or lie on me, when I catch up with them, I jump on them. I mean, you might not think so. I know how to fight. And number two, I know how to cut. And number three, I was taught how to shoot. The misinterpretation with many people, even in church, you are nice and kind, they think you're weak. Well, don't ever, I said this in this church, and Brother Holloway and a few of the rest of y'all was here. I was here a month. I said to the church what I said to you today. I asked my kids to stand. Mm-hmm. I said, if you all get to church, if my kids get to fighting with your kids, we can resolve the issue. Because these are children and kids. Then I asked my wife, Ms. William, will you stand, please? I said to the church, now, this is my wife, And anybody bother her, if I'm preaching, I'm going to stop and come down and settle and come back and finish. Some people say, well, even my wife said to me, well, you are right today. I said, yes. But God gave you to me. It's my job if something comes up to defend you. And I don't have a problem going to jail by being defending her. Because I believe with all my heart the jail was built for certain people. So the interpretation that you have, a lot of stuff about God, is not biblical. Amen. I told you a few Sundays ago, it's not biblical for God to make you love anybody. That's your job. You have a choice. It's in you to either love or not to love. And let me prove it to you. When you look at men, when you're looking for a lady friend or a guy friend, you don't run around, I wonder what God's going to accept me. You ignore God. You say, boy, she's fine. She may have just killed the last husband. You don't know. So if you can love somebody you don't know, how about loving somebody that you know? Amen. And so the Bible says, this is the Bible, that God will reveal himself if you are open to listen to him. I've said this all over. I said it in New York. When you find a church that is always fighting going on among the membership, those people who are doing the fighting have not committed themselves to God. You know what I'm saying, ma'am? I read the Bible and I talk to God, not morning and evening. I talk to him all through the day. I know this, he will intervene in my stuff. We was in the name of the place that was out of this, it's part of this country. It's on the ocean with a lot of sand. What's it? I can't think of the name of it now. We was down there in 1995, I think it was, when they had that big tornado and some and wrecked the place. And we had to come back through Florida. But we was in this place and they had an announcement made. You see what they said? They said all the people who's living upstairs, please come down in the main dining room and in the coffee shop. We don't want anybody upstairs. And so I said to my lady, I said, Sue, get your changing outfit. And I said, that's what I'm, so we can go down now. We went to the elevator, and everybody's in the hallway trying to get on the elevator. We was on the 8th floor. I said, put your hand on my shoulder and don't look back. So I went right close to the elevator door. Uh-huh. They're talking. We don't have enough space. And they're minding other folks' business. And I'm standing by the door. When the door opened, her hand was on my back, and I shot in the door. She got in, no argument, no cussing, no loudness. Loudness is because something is wrong with the person who is loud. And you check it out. If you're always in a conversation, you got to be loud on everybody else, and then when you get through being loud, start cussing, it's on you, not the devil, you. In fact, the devil can't make you cuss. There's cussing in you. I'm going to get where you live. Just give me a few minutes. So when we got into Florida, no, we couldn't go to Florida. They said no planes were landing where we were when we left. So the people who paid our way, it was 35 of us. So he chartered another plane, and we went through by Atlanta, Georgia. We got almost to Atlanta. I'm trying to tell you, when God intervened, yes. We got almost into Atlanta, Georgia, and the plane. Then it ducked. People were drinking and cussing and carrying on. And then you didn't hear no more cussing then. Lord have mercy. Well, you got a, listen, you got some scotch in your hand and talking about Lord have mercy. He will have mercy. And so we were sitting on the plane. One other person was sitting on the end near the window. We didn't say a word. But when we left the place, we started praying. We prayed before we got on. Because how do you know the pilot wasn't drunk or crazy? And we flew into almost Atlanta, and the plane was almost to go down. And then they said, we can't land in Atlanta. The weather's too bad. We were sitting there, and this man said, why are you all so quiet? And I said to him, when I tell you today, I said, because my captain is the one driving the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, what do you mean, your captain? I said, my captain is not the man up there. It's the man in here. I've had some, it'd be a two-part sermon. I've had some storms in my life. I've had more than one. And I've had several storms was extremely difficult. Real difficult. But in the midst of my storm, I knew that God was omnipresent. And so in the midst of my, wherever I am and I'm his child, he's going to intervene to help me. Maybe it never happened to you. Lamont came here. I got through preaching, and Lamont begged for me to come. He said, you can't go down. Come on. You have to go with me. I got out that door, and Lamont said, your granddaughter just died. Listen careful. I'm talking about storms. That's a Sunday. Then 15 minutes to 5, I was awakened at 20 minutes to 5 that morning on Wednesday. Wide awake, and the phone rang at 15 minutes to 5. I looked at the phone, the clock, and I answered the phone. It was the hospital. They said, we called to tell you your wife just passed. I didn't go crazy. I looked up, I said, now, Lord, I'm in your care, and I can't do nothing but trust you. Got to trust you.
Yes, sir.
And then I got up, got dressed, went to the hospital. Because one of my prayers were that I wouldn't be there when she passed. You said that's crazy. For you, it might be. It wasn't crazy for me. I didn't want to hear the last word. And when I got there, he delivered me. I was able to stand there and handle it. That was my stone. Now listen, I hope you're listening. Granddaughter dead at 27. Wife dead after 50-something years. Listen carefully. Friends, there was a storm in my life. I mean really bad. When I got there, the doctor was coming out of the room and he said to me, Mr. Williams, I'm going to go and get you some, what you call those pills y'all take? You need some medication to help you. I said, doctor, I've had it already before I got here. He looked at me strange. He said, what did you take? I said, I didn't take it. I drank it and I inhaled it and then I spit it back out and let him catch it. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, I don't need nothing to help me. I need something to strengthen me. And God has already done that. And he will walk me through this. He took me through other storms. He's not going to leave me in this storm. You got to learn your life And so I hear some of you now, because you academically think you're sound, your storm is on its way. You need to know him before your storm get there. And I'm telling you, God will deliver you in your storm, or he'll keep you in it and deliver you, or he'll get you out of it, and you'll tell the world, I know I wasn't going to make it. But I got a God who can deliver me. You pray for me today. We had a lot. I'll tell you, this is the last one. We had I'm over here where this church is built, on my knees, with a board because there's so much glass, praying. A man came by and said, Mr. Williams, it's dangerous for you to be out here by yourself. I said, no, I'm not by myself. I said, he sent me out here. He told me to go and pray over the land. I said, if he sent me out here, he's going to take care of me. The late John Williams came by and he stopped and he prayed and he said, Pastor, I think we'll get somebody. Every day you go, we get somebody to go, come over here with you. I said, you can do that, but I'm fine. He said, but anything can happen. I said, that's true. But he sent me over here. Now, you missed all of that. He sent me over here. He's not sending me nowhere. He can't protect me. I don't know about you, but the church is built, the building is built, and here I am telling you now, when God intervenes, everything will be all right. Amen. When I look at this background, Exodus deals with people being free from captivity. If you look at it the way it is. But listen carefully. He says, stand still as my subject and see the salvation of the Lord. Now you say, but stand still. There wasn't no salvation where they were. Just give me a minute. Over 400 years had now passed since Joseph had invited his father's family down to Egypt, to the land of Goshen, my friends, in order to escape the famine they faced in Canaan. During this time, they had been forced into slavery and served under a harsh taskmaster. But God heard their plea for deliverance, friends, and sent Moses to lead them out of their slavery circumstances. Help me, Holy Ghost. And bring them back into the land of Canaan. The land God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. Amen. Friends, listen very carefully. During this time, they had been forced, I said, into slavery, serving a hard taskmaster. When I lived in Chicago, I was promoted on a job, and all hell broke loose. I mean, I went through hell because I got a promotion. So I will never forget this man. He was a general manager over all of the company's business in Chicago. So he came to us and says, well, I'm going to resign. I can't keep this job because if I keep it, somebody's going to get hurt. He said, what do you mean, Master? I said, well, you all the hell I'm catching, and the manager's trying to help me, but he cannot take care of all of it. And this is what he said to me. He said, Bill, I'm authorizing you. The next time somebody give you a bad time, give them two warnings and fire. I said, okay. He says that I don't care who it is. If they give you a bad time, warn them twice and fire them. Mm-hmm. So a lady gave me a bad time twice. I said to her, go home for a week and think. And then if you don't think anything, don't come back. She said, I can't tell you all, she said, I'm not going anywhere. I said, you might not go, but you can't work here. There's no work here for you to do. Didn't she allow people got on her side? I didn't care nothing about that. I had somebody who had intervened for me. How many of you been stuck? Things worked out all right, and you thought you were smart. Not so. He intervenes when you don't even see him. Way down, I'm working on trying to give somebody now some protection in Sacramento, and they don't even know it. Because they need it. God works in many instances behind the scenes. You think you got smart and got something, no, you didn't. The house you own, if it had not been for God, you wouldn't be in it. You wouldn't have had enough money to put down as a down payment. And some of the houses you lost, if you listened to God, you wouldn't have never lost them. You can't buy a house with a heavy note and then buy an $800 purse and don't have a dime to put in it. And so, my friends, listen carefully. And bringing them into the land of Canaan, the land God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. Now, God, I don't know about you, but God promised me. He promised me. He said, William, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I stand on that promise for the rest of my life. If he's with me 10 years ago, he hasn't left me today. I can't think about it. I have to believe it and walk with it. Listen, slavery here in America was a major issue in decades gone by. And thank God that, my friend, that's behind us. But sad to say, there are still millions who are slaves in a different sense. Help me today. There are those who are slaves to alcohol, slaves to drugs, slaves, my friends, to corruption. There are those who are slaves to perversion, slaves to pornography. There are those who are slaves to lust, or else they are slaves to their possessions. Some people love their furniture more than they love God. They don't realize if it hadn't been for God, they wouldn't have that couch. Amen. Let me give you a personal illustration. My uncle Howard, built a home in Burglar, one of the nicest homes in Burglar. And him and his wife was nice people, but uppity. That was my daddy's brother. He always said that I was a nice kid. I've always been nice, but I wasn't nice to him for that reason. I was nice to him because I thought I was going to go to Berkeley High School and I could stay with him. You've had some alternative motives. Say amen, Cuba. And so he... They had a house. They had two living rooms. And you would go to that house. You couldn't go through the front door. You had to go through the side door or the back door. And one of the living rooms had all white carpet. And you couldn't go in there until you come inside through the other one and sit down or pull your shoes off. And then you could go in there. I watched that. They had money. I mean money. Uncle Howard got sick when he got 66. Cuba, and he couldn't work anymore. Five-bedroom house, him and his wife, protected it like it was God. Then after he got sick, he died. Aunt May got sick. And she had to bring in somebody to help her. I got all this fine stuff, guiding it and worshiping over it, and now you can't enjoy it. You better worship God so he'll have somebody when something happened to you. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't envy them. I think it was nice. But I used to say to myself, why are they so particular with that house? They can't take it with them. Then Aunt May died and her nieces who were left, and they went crazy trying to get something for them that was not made for them. Now you all, I want to shock all of you all today. Some of you all are sitting in this church today. Somebody in your family is waiting for you to die. Wait. They already got plans for your death so they can enjoy your money. Many of you better go somewhere and do some things. You have to learn that God is the one that intervenes. And don't mistreat your blessing. Enjoy them. Amen. When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, we went someplace and my nieces and nephews went with me. My daughter and the fellow said, now that restaurant is expensive. I said, well, do they have homegrown fried catfish? He said, yes. I said, well, that's where we're going. Because I thought to myself, well, if I don't have enough, it's six of you all. Pull it out because you're not going to take it with you. And so when I got in, I said, I'll take the ticket. One of my nephews said, not here. He intervened. And I said, thank you. Friends, they are slaves, I said, to many other things. And yet, we put a lot of emphasis on what slave used to be and don't know nothing about it. You just read some stuff. Or else they're slaves, I said, to possessions because they have allowed their possessions to possess them. Church, and God want to deliver them from their slavery as well as he did the Israelites. The scripture tells us that God was forced to pour out, my friend, to pull them out of several, for them, poured out several plagues against Pharaoh so he can take care of his people. Now, the Israelites didn't know God was going to put some plagues there to help deliver them. Pharaoh was the big God, and he thought, amen. Who did I hear? I heard last week some man, they said he's worth 100 and something billion. That's what he's worth. He looked like he could be about 70. How much is he going to take with him? Don't know how to organize. Don't know how to enjoy. God will intervene sooner or later. And he's going to give up some of that money because he didn't get it all right. No man worth $100 billion and got it honestly. Some of it, he got it some other way. You don't tell me that, I know that. The scripture tells us that God was forced, my friends, to pour out 10 severe plagues upon the Egyptians before Pharaoh would finally concede to the will of God and allow the Israelites their freedom. This is God now. We're talking about God. When the day of their deliverance, listen, came, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. He led them through, my friends. He could have led them to a nearby area, but God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. Listen carefully. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Genesis chapter 13, verse 17. And when they arrived at the Red Sea, they stopped to rest. Sometimes God may lead us around the long way too, but it will always be for our benefit. Generally, it is because he wants to reveal his glory to us. My friends, don't get ahead of God. It won't work. Listen careful. We may not get the job done. We may not get the position soon. I would like, but don't give up. Friends, we may not be able to acquire our own home as soon or as we desire, but don't give up. Or you may not get your promised land. Don't give up. Whatever that may be, as soon as you would like it, but don't you give up. And my friends, and don't get ahead of God. Let him lead you. When my daddy died, I'd only been here. I came here in May. My daddy died, had a massive stroke in October. And we had just bought a house in August and a car. And so we had like $600-$700. That's all. So I said, my kid didn't want to go, so I said to my lady wife, I said, I have to call one of my brothers and get some money because I wanted to get my fare and have some money in my pocket. I'm different from a lot of y'all. I like to have something in my pocket. And so when I got on the phone, my auntie called me. She said, son, she called me son a lot of times. She said, I am going to pay for you, your wife, and your two children's air flight from Chicago so you can fly into Jackson. I'll get you a round-trip ticket. That's intervening. I said, no, I'm okay. She said, but don't worry about it. I just want to make sure you get there. Are you listening? Listen careful. I got a ticket, went to San Francisco, and forgotten living at home at night. Sue drove me down there, and I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now, because she's gone back to Sacramento. So I knew a few people. That I said, well, something will happen. I said, the Lord, you know I got to go, and I'm down here now. Don't have no ticket. Don't have no money. All of a sudden, behind what the cashier, not cashier, what the people deal with tickets at night, all of a sudden, behind the counter, this man, he stand up. This man comes behind the counter. I look back and I say, hey, you work here? He said, yes. I said, I need your help. He said, what can I do for you, Pastor William? I said, I left my ticket at home and I have to have a ticket to ride the plane. He said, that's no problem. He stepped up to the desk and he said, told the lady who I was. And he told her, put everything under my name. That's called what? You can't talk God, you got to know God. Amen. So when I came back, I called him. I was going to give him a bonus, tip him for letting me have the money. He said, what you want to do with that money is enjoy yourself. Wouldn't take a dime. And you telling me I'm not going to be nice to people? I'm nice to the devil, the Hedians, the bad ones.
the crazy ones, anyone you name, I got to be nice because I want my prayers answered. And friends, Pharaoh, then we read that Pharaoh reneged on his decision to allow them to leave. So he made ready to his army with all the available chariots and gave my friends chase after the Israelites in order to force Israelites to return to the slavery camp in Egypt. Genesis 14, 5 and 8. And he, my friends, and he connected them, my friends, as they caught up with them and connected with them by the Red Sea. Now, here's what I want you to listen to. You need to make notes of this. He caught up with them at the Red Sea. Right. Have you ever felt that you were in a corner with the enemy, hot on your heels, and you saw no way out of your dilemma? Well, you're not alone. For most of us have been there. Maybe it was when you were diagnosed with some kind of incurable disease, when your bank threatened to foreclose on your home, or when you were laid off from your job with no other source of income. It may have been when your spouse asked you for a divorce and left you with nothing, or when you were involved in some tragic accident, leaving you, my friend, disabled, when your child had ran away from home or was kidnapped or may have left you sad. We have all been somewhere in that category. We may be some, when some storms of fire destroyed all of your earthly possessions. Well, this is how the Israelites must have felt at their particular time, helpless and hopeless. It was this moment that Moses told the people, my friend, listen. He told the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will, my friend, accomplish for what he has told them. Verse number 13. One of the hardest things for me and for you, the hardest things to do when the enemy has you cornered is to stand still. It's very hard. Yet, that's precisely what Moses told them to do. Just stand still and allow God to work a miracle. Yes, Lord. I'm aware that there are times when it is God's will that we do what we can, but there are also, my brothers and sisters, those times when there is nothing we can do. Hallelujah to the King. But there are also those times when there is nothing we can do but trust Him to work things out. I admit, it is not always easy for me to trust God. Sometimes I like to take care of the issue myself. Let me give you what I mean by that. I was coming from the hospital, and it was a lady on the other side. She started to come across, but she stopped. I stopped. So she didn't move. I took off. Police car. So I pulled to the side. I said, "How can I help you, sir?" He said, "Didn't you see that lady on the corner on the other side?" He said, "You violated the rule, whatever rule he told." I said, "Sir, if you was behind me, you saw something else. What else did you see?" I waited for her and she didn't do anything, so I took off. He said, don't you know I can take you to jail? No problem. I said, I know your boss. Take me to jail. I hadn't did nothing. There are times you can't do nothing about what you could do, but stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. I heard about all this stuff in Las Vegas. I know some people up there connected with us. I didn't get all excited. What's going to happen? I was praying if they were not into that battle. I prayed hard for the families who had loved ones left who was killed. But I also prayed for that man's family. His brother was sad. Don't just look out for yourself. Look out for somebody else. That's one of the reasons we're saved. We're not just saved to go to heaven. We're saved to do some earthly work. Amen. Amen. And there's nowhere in the Bible you'll find that you're saved to help just one race. And you're saved to help people. Whatever they are, people. If you can reach out, God will reach in. I've witnessed that for myself. And listen carefully. When you see the enemy rapidly approaching, or when the bill collector are threatening, or when you feel severe pain in your body, or when bad news become worse news, or when the burdens become too heavy to bear, when a loved one passes from this life, or when your child gets sick and even die, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yet those are the times the Lord wants us to trust him most of all. It was when the combined army of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir came against King Jehoshaphat. I like that man. Listen what he did. He prayed, oh our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Now do we know what to do, but our eyes are up on you. Friends, 2 Chronicles 12, 20 and 12. This is what to do when you don't know what to do. Just talk to him. He'll come to your rescue. Look what he says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Oh, Psalm 7 and 1. Oh, Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Listen to David. Listen at him. Then, friends, and so Moses is there at the battle with all these grumbling, mumbling people. But he was able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverance, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Friends, Psalms 18 and 2. Look at Psalms 2 and 12. Blessed are all of those who put their trust in him. Today we would consider these Israelites to be young in the Lord. They had been delivered from their past, but their faith was still weak and immature. They had not yet learned what God could do. And they had not yet, my friend, learned how to trust the Lord in all difficult times. Church, they were out of Egypt, all right, but fear and doubt still plagued them. And they didn't know what to do. Amen. And so Moses told the people, the Lord will fight for you. and you should hold your peace. Friend, that's verse 14. In other words, stay calm and watch what God does. You got to be calm. You can't be cussing and trusting God. If it is good to have somebody around like Moses who knows what to do when others don't. Moses had learned some things about trusting God. He was in Egypt for a long time. Therefore, he was a source of spiritual strength, guidance, and encouragement to the people. Moses had experience in trusting God, and now that experience would give comfort and direction to the people. Listen careful. Then here's what I shouts about a lot. The Red Sea, my friends, was a familiar obstruction before them. Yet God told Moses that they were to go straight through to the other side. Now look, church, here you standing in front of Lake Michigan. Not Lake Michigan, but that's Chicago. The ocean here in San Francisco. And I'm telling you, stand still and in a few minutes you'll cross over. You would say, you're crazy. How can I cross over with all of that water? I'm going to talk about this business here. Just listen. He was to lift. Give me my stick. God told Moses, and you'd have laughed at this. God said to Moses, this is what he said to Moses. He said, lift up your rod. Lift it up and stretch it out over the sea and divide it. Now he got a rod, lift it up, stretched out, and it's going to divide the sea. Nobody, no atomic bomb behind this, no dynamite, but it's going to divide. I'm telling you about the God you have. Church, thereby allow the Israelites to go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 16. And that's how it happened. There were no how, my friend. There was no hooby, holly, hooly. No magic, no formula. There was no, my friend, fascinating achievements. No charismatic charm. It was just simple faith in God. Being exercised for faith in, my friend, in the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. There are some things in life that you can avoid by going around them or by ignoring them. But there are some things that you have to go on through because there's no other way you can go. In the scripture we read that Noah had to go through the great flood. And coming to a close, let me share with you. Friends, when they got to the Red Sea, Moses and Israelites, God says, I'm going to make a way for you to go on the other side. Now, the Bible said God let down a cloud. A cloud is where the water comes from. And the cloud picks up the water. And where it picks the water up, it put a freeway. And here come Israel by the hundreds. Walked on dry land. Yes, sir. He told him to stand still, keep your mouth closed, and then you'll be ready when I tell you. Yes, sir. And when Moses gave the signal, the dry land, they walked through the Red Sea. Amen. Here comes Mr. Bad Pharaoh, amen, with all of his chariots and his army behind them. After the last person of the Israelites, they got on the other side. And when Pharaoh got in the middle
of the Red Sea, God let that cloud loose, and that water came from being backed up and drowning them all. And we sang, "Oh, Pharaoh got drowned in the Red Sea." And don't let your life put you in the Red Sea and you don't have no freeway to walk on. I found out for myself, if you trust him, he'll make a highway for your life. If you trust him, I don't care what happened, he'll bring you out, or he'll stay there with you until you can handle it. This God we talk about is not some God in the sky, not some God way out there. He's a God in you. Call him when you need him. He's there to answer you now. I've been on the Red Sea, and he brought me out on dry land. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The reason I praise God, I look back and see what he's already done. If he did it once, he'll do it again. I know he's able to deliver me and you. Don't worry about your Red Sea. He will intervene. I don't care what anybody said. Well, they said, well, we don't know what's going to happen because of the new president. That's not my business. I tell you what's going to happen. God is going to take care of Ephraim until he get ready to call me home. Don't be worried about Washington. Where are you with God? What is your relationship? If you don't have no relationship, you better get a relationship with God. Amen. Amen. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've seen the rain and trying to conquer my soul. But he calling me. Oh, but he no, never. No, never. He promised. Oh, he promised. No. Will you come today? Will you come today? Never. Never. Oh. Will you come today? Will you come today? He will never leave you. Trust him. Will you come? Promise. Never. Oh, never. Will you come? Oh, he promised. Will you come? Never. Never. No.
stands between. He stands to shield me from danger, treading a load of care. He promised never to leave.
Here you come today.
Never to leave me alone. Oh, no.
Never.
No.
No. He promised.
He
come for it. Would you come? You know who you are. Don't let anybody discourage you when the Spirit of God is speaking to you. Nobody. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, we lift this sister before you. We commit her to you. May you touch your strength in her. You know her needs, supply them according to your love.